which our Father's house had a small place to play. So if you kids want to come up here. Larry is Louise Carade's brother. Some of you have met Susie because she was here with us last year for a while. And Larry has just returned from Somalia? South Sudan, that's right. Who's telling the story?
So, good morning, everyone. And we're so thankful to be here this morning. As Pastor Lanny has said, that we got married in 2014 in South Sudan in Africa, where we met. And I was a missionary there for many years. And, oh, sorry, baby. we really right away wanted to start to have a family, and we tried and tried, and but we weren't successful, and so anyway, we came. I hear you. The steps. We want to get it right.
Yeah. So we struggled for a long time. We've tried all the things that couples who are struggling to have babies try, like we tried IVF. That failed twice. And so we reached a point where we just gave up. We said, if this is meant to be, it's meant to be. And before we got married, I remember my husband saying, we're going to get married. And if we have children, it's all right. If we don't end up having children, it's also okay. You know, we're in this for life. And then I started thinking about that, and I wrongly assumed that that was God's way of saying, I knew this would happen, you were not going to have kids, so I prepared you when your husband made that statement. So I was, you know, just there thinking, okay, this is meant to be. And then, so we came, I was with Louise and Douglas for a long time, almost 5 months. I lived with them when Larry was back in South Sudan, and that was part of this whole triumph thing. And so we came here, and I used to come here sometimes with Louise to come and pray at our father's house. And then there was one of those times when Pastor Lenny prayed for us. He was the first person who prayed for us. And that was the first time I felt something might happen, because when Lenny prayed, after he finished, he looked at me and said, when you come for the testimony, he said, when, he didn't say if, he said, when you come for the testimony, you know, and then that kind of got the fire starting, because I felt like, well, something might happen, because he said when, he didn't say if, so he had faith, and so that started our faith in all this. And then so we waited, and then shortly afterwards, Mahesh also came here, and then we attended that service, and he prayed over us. And then I remember my husband saying, well, this is it. It's going to happen. So we waited, and we kind of put it out of our minds, because there comes a time when you trust God, and you let him do his thing, and he has his time, which is different from yours. And so we just started, you know, went on with our lives, doing our normal thing. How much do I have? So then it just happened, and I didn't know that I was expecting. And I remember it was my cousin, who was also my maid of honor at our wedding. She was at our house back in South Sudan, and she came to visit us. And I don't know what I did or said. She looked at me and said, Susie, you're so moody. Are you sure you're not pregnant? And I said, oh, it can be. You know, I know I've been expecting it, but really? You know, I kind of... I couldn't believe it. I was shocked. You know, God knows how to shock you with news and good news. So, and then I told, Larry was there. Larry looked at me and said, well, they said it might happen. And so I had a home test kit that I had for a long time, and it even expired. So I used that, and I did the home test, and it was positive. And I looked at Larry and said, this thing is expired. And he's like, so I told him, you do the second one, but make sure you use my urine. And
yeah. So didn't work so well for me.
So he did the second test.
I wasn't pregnant.
He did the second test, and he was positive. And at that point, I wanted to jump for joy, and it was killing me inside. And I was like, this is it, this is it. And I said, let's do one more test. I know, I'm sure you're thinking at this point, where's your belief, right? So then I went to the clinic, and I told the attendant, I said, I've already done a urine test. Do a blood test, because I really need to be sure. So he did a blood test, and it was positive, and I couldn't wait for Larry to get home, and, you know, I told him about it. And at that point, our whole lives changed. We're thinking, oh, here comes a baby. What do we do? What do we do? And I started, the devil kind of finds a way of putting roadblocks and making you feel unsure. And all of a sudden, I was feeling, how do you be a mother? What do you do? And this baby comes, what am I supposed to do? And all those fears started flooding in. And so we just had to start being prayerful and preparing ourselves for it. And then this little guy arrived on 8th of July, and he's almost 9 months old now. We named him Lawrence Voga, Lawrence after his father and Voga after my father, so he has the two grandfathers. And so he arrived, and we were just, from there, things just went on, and my fears completely, I don't know what happened to them. They got lost somewhere, and I just started taking care of him and Larry, and so we really, really just wanted to come today to say thank you, because this church stood with us and prayed with us, and people believed in us before we even believed it would happen. There's a women's prayer group with Louise and Linnea and them. You know it better. What is it called? Louise? There, you heard it. So they prayed for us, and they are still praying for us. And so we just wanted to come back and say thank you for standing with us and for praying with us and for believing in us, and just to come back to this house and say thank you. We didn't want to be like the 9 lepers who never came back. So really,
we don't have leprosy.
So really, thank you. And we wanted to present him to you to see this is the miracle. This is what you've prayed for. And here he is. He's touched.
God is still in the miracle-working business. How I love hearing those stories. All righty. Tim, you got anything you need to tell us? Oh, we're going to receive an... Oh, speaking of offerings, God bless your hearts. We are within like $800, $900 of fully funding all the pastors that we talked about. I know that two or three of you have already said you're going to make your contributions today, but we are so close, and they're going to be so blessed, and I'm so grateful. God, return it to you 100-fold. So all you want to do is receive an offering? Excuse me? Alexi and I will be going in on the 16th of April and returning on May the 1st. So we've got a full agenda for what's going on down there. Y'all ever heard of the you haven't brought enough candy for the Easter egg hunt? How unlike you. No chocolate. Unless you set it aside as a tithe and offering. I don't know where that came from. Gentlemen, if you'll come. I want to restate just for your certainty. Part of the financial integrity that I demand of this household is that every dollar we receive for a specific thing goes to that specific thing only. We don't take any administrative costs out of that or any of that stuff. When you give to Cuba or Ukraine or Kenya or whatever else we're doing, you know that 100% of that goes to the thing for which we say. And Jay has committed to maintaining that level of administrative integrity during his role as the leader of this congregation. I know that many of us have been exposed to the lack of integrity in other ministries. But this one is 100% rock solid on that stuff. So you can rest assured in that. We've got very capable people managing that and ensuring that's exactly what takes place. Father, I want to thank you so much for the generosity and kindness you have demonstrated to our households over the years, for the amazing way you have taken us from where we were into the place we are now in the journey of life through into which we are yet to go. I thank you, Father, for the spirit of generosity in this house. It reflects your spirit of generosity. You cause your sun to shine on the righteous and unrighteous. You send your rain upon the evil and the good because you love without condition. And your generosity is a part of your spirit which is in us, and I thank you. I pray that you continue to cultivate that so that we have an opportunity to stand with you in what you're doing, not only here, but in the nations. So we bless this house, Lord, and all that it represents, and pray that you would add to it those of like spirit to build your kingdom from this place to the nations. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Jay called me and said, would it be all right if I took this Sunday because I feel like the Lord wants me to take it? And I said, I'm here to serve you, so please welcome Jay.
Good morning. Wow, what a morning. Who enjoyed worship this morning? Just give it just a clap. The Lord, to our wonderful ministers up here. And I just want to say a big thank you to all of our worship leaders who've been inviting our kids to come up front here and worship with us here with the flags. It has done something different on a spiritual level for us to see the heart of a child up here worshiping before the Lord. And to have them singing the songs that we were singing today, good job, parents. I know that means you're listening to the worship music and you're playing it for your kids and they're connecting with it. I know our boys are singing these same songs, and to hear these words coming from their lips, whether they understand them yet or not, it's working into their spirit, and God's going to bring that stuff forth in the future. I'm so excited to see that. It's just powerful. It makes my heart just jump for joy. So thank you for all of the work that you're doing, loving our kids and leading them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Praise God. Well, lots of testimonies here this morning. I want to thank you for being patient through that, because it's important for us to be able to bring these things forward so that we can hear what God is doing in and amongst our people. For our teens to get up here this morning and share what God is doing about encountering and saying, I can't share enough because I'll be up here forever, that's a huge thing. For them to be encountering God at this age in their lives. What a blessing to have. And to have youth leaders and other leaders that are here to help support them is incredible. Last week, if you recall, we had four testimonies up here in the front. Everybody remember that? And the thing that struck me in those testimonies is you had everything from the very young to those that are not very young, sharing about the goodness of God and encountering His Spirit in a real, tangible way. From a child that's being, and I say child, one of our young ladies, getting her toe healed in the morning, seeing God cared enough to show her that He loved her and He was going to heal her. What a powerful thing for her to encounter. You can't take that away from somebody. To have that invested into her now, God is just grabbing hold of her spirit and saying, I love you, just shaking her, I love you. And to hear about Rhema helping teach the preteens about how to connect with the Lord and how to minister to one another, to deliver words of knowledge, and they ministered to another one of our youth. What a powerful experience. That didn't happen for me when I was growing up. How did that happen for you guys? No, what is God doing? And then to have our very not so young up here saying, God, he healed my hands. I can move my hands again. I work with my hands. He knows that I care and I need my hands to do the work that I do. And he showed me that he wants to love me and bless me and heal my hands. What a powerful thing. And to have another one of our guys say, under the presence of the Lord, I could barely stand up here. I couldn't talk. I couldn't do anything. God's presence just came and messed me up. He messed him up. Why did he do that? I don't know, but he messed him up, and it's so cool. Wow. There's some stuff going on here at our Father's house. God is moving. And today we got to experience him in worship. That was a powerful worship service. I was connecting with the Lord in that. It was just beautiful. And I know others were too. The Lord is moving right now. He's stirring things. He's shaking them up. So we had the very youngest to the oldest. And today we got things fit in between. And we had a story of a miracle, creative miracle, of a new child being brought into the earth. God has a plan for that young man's life. Praise God. Wow. How exciting. You know, on the day of Pentecost, what is it that Peter said to the crowd? He references Joel, and he says, we're in a new season, and God's doing something new in this season. He says this, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. All people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Come on, somebody. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. That is a multi-generational perspective on God pouring out his spirit on all flesh. And we're experiencing that right now. We're experiencing that right now. Praise God. I'm... Our expectancy is increasing for God to show up and bring healing and freedom to people's lives. And not just in here. Bring healing and freedom. Things are happening in and among us as we're gathering together, and there's excitement that's starting to stir in our healing groups and people that aren't even yet involved in healing groups. We're seeing God touch us. We're connecting with him in the prophetic. It's, I don't know if you know, but the prophetic ministry right now has got like, I don't know, 30 or so people in there. We got like over 10% of our church population is involved in the prophetic ministry. Now, that's a critical mass that God wants to do something with. What's he doing, folks? What is it that he's doing? I got so stirred up last weekend that I went out for a run after service. And if you've been around here a while, you know that I like to run. I'm not doing it as much as I like to, but I went out for a run. And I felt like, God, I want to grab hold of what it is that you're doing right now. And it can't just be inside the church. And I'm hearing stories of things that are happening outside the church and how God's ministering in the community and how he's ministering in commerce and finance and business in so many ways. Listen, the Lord owns it all. And he wants to be evident and present in all of it. So I went out running, and I'm listening to podcasts, and it's getting me all sorts of stirred up. And as I went, I came across two homeless guys. And they asked me for money. I had no money with me. I'm out for a run. And so I prayed for them. And they're saying that they're hungry. I had nothing to give them. And I walked out of there feeling like, I don't know if I connected anything for them. But Lord, what do you have for these guys? And so I kept running, and I felt like as I was running that he gave me a word for one of them. It's like, okay, Lord, well, I'm going to be coming back. This is an out and back run. I'll be coming back the same way. And as I went deeper into town, I saw an establishment that was open. And I knew they had food there. Or they might have food there. And so I ran over there and I said, listen, I came across two gentlemen. They're homeless. I don't have any money on me. I'll come by. I'll pay you. If I can't get some like cookies or something like that and bring back to them, that'd be great. And they said, this is great. Listen, we've got some free food here today because we're having an event. And they're like, would you like some of it? I said, that'd be great. And so, come on. This doesn't just happen. This place isn't usually open on Sundays, okay? I run in there, and I say this, and they're all sorts of excited. They want to get involved in this. Like, okay, great. I said, all right, I'm going to go wash my hands. I'm all sweaty, right? So I go wash my hands. I come back. And by the way, I'm not saying this to lift myself up. This is a testimony of what God is doing right now, okay? I want the Lord to sow a seed in your heart for what he can do, because this is something that is important to me. And there's things that are important to you. And God wants to meet you there and light that thing up. I love going out for runs just to just connect with him and do stuff, but he wanted to connect with people through that. He wanted to take two of my loves and bring them together. Praise God. So I came back out, and they said, hey, we got some pie. We can put some in some cups, and you can carry them there. How many guys was it? I said, it was two guys. I said, but how about we just throw another one in just in case for good measure? And they're like, okay. So they're starting to sort this stuff out, and they're like, you know, we've got a whole pie that's untouched right now. I was like, oh, wow. I didn't think about that. Would you like that? Sure. So we have a completely untouched lemon meringue pie, beautiful, right? And they put it inside a little box, and they put some forks and things like that in it, and they send me on my way. So now I'm carrying a water bottle and a pie and running across Lexington Park. It was so exciting. It's like, this has got to be God, because this is just awkward but awesome. And so I go running. And I don't get two blocks before I encounter another guy. He comes over. Hey, he starts talking to me about stuff. And as I'm speaking with him, I realize he's been drinking, okay? And I was like, all right, Lord, he approached me. We're in the bubble right now. What's going to happen? And so I start talking to him, and he's down and out. And I ask him, can I pray for you? Do you know Jesus? Yeah, I know Jesus. Did you give your heart to the Lord? Yeah, I did, but I'm not really walking with him right now. I said, okay, well, can I pray for you? Because I believe God wants to transform people's lives. And I believe he sends us out to bring his light to the earth. Look, we are the light of the world. Light goes into darkness, right? And it transforms it. And so I go and I start praying for this guy and praying for God to just reawaken his heart, reawaken his relationship with him, and bring transformation. And as I'm praying, I get a sense that he's got pain in his back. I'm not even sure how it connected that all. I don't know if it was visual or a sensation or whatnot, but I just got this. He's got pain in his back. So I said, Do you have pain in your body? And he says, yeah, I got stuff. And I said, is it in your back? He says, well, I got that dealt with a while ago, but I got cancer. And I said, okay, well, do you still have pain in your back? Because I sense you got pain in your back. Yes, all right. And so I said, where is it? And he said, it's right here. So I went and I put my hand on it and I started praying that the Lord would heal him and bring healing to him. And we got done. I said, how do you feel? He says, man, I felt that. He says, your hand got real hot. Now I know that is a way that the Lord manifests healing through me. And so he said, that was something. So he started, I had him walk, and he was walking. He says, it's feeling a lot better, you know. And so we went through, we finished everything up, and I went on my way, still carrying a pie out across Lexington Park. And so I get back to these gentlemen, and I give them the pie, and they thank me for it, and they went and sat down, and they just started wolfing this thing down. It's like, all right, well, okay. So I kept on running. I got about a block, and the Lord reminded me, I remember I had a word for that young man. And so I went back, and I brought it to him, and I delivered it to him, and asked him if he wanted me to pray with him, and he didn't at that point. But he was resonating with some aspect of it. It was about the name that he had, and the Lord was connecting with his name. Now, he wasn't ready to pray. I'm okay with that. I'm not going to cram Jesus down anybody's throat. But I offered to the level that he was willing to receive. And God was doing stuff there. Later on in the week, I ended up praying for somebody I would never really think about praying before, because they're above me in leadership. In the secular world, the Lord had me step out of my comfort zone to ask him, can I pray for you? And I know by the testimony of what their experience, what had happened there, that God did something in it, whether they were aware of it or not. Now, I'm sharing this with you because of this. I have prayed with people in public. I've been doing some of this stuff for years, and rarely, rarely do I see something take place. Or I could say, okay, God definitely changed that situation. But Lord, I'm going to keep trying. I have multiple experiences with the Lord in this. this week. And I'm encouraged about that personally, but I'm also encouraged for you because there's something that God is doing right now in our atmosphere here that's going to start spilling out into our streets. It's going to start spilling out into our communities. If you will engage with the Lord on that, He is going to meet with you there. Why? Because He loves people. He loves people. He wants to demonstrate His love to people, and He wants to demonstrate it through you because they know you or they're encountering you right there in that moment, in that instance. We have been a place and a people who have learned to honor the person and the presence of the Holy Spirit. We're submitted to the resident Lord of the church, and we seek to bring Him honor by what we do and how we welcome His presence. You heard Lee this morning, as he got up here to lead worship, what did he do? He invited the presence of the Holy Spirit. He welcomed Him here. We regularly take that time to pause and ask the Holy Spirit to come. And He does. He meets us here. And He meets us in tangible ways. It's beautiful. And we've recently experienced an increase of His manifest presence among us. Are we satisfied? I am not satisfied. I will not camp here. More pie. I will not settle here because He has more available to us. That does not mean I am ungrateful or unthankful, because I am deeply. I am excited, as you can see, but I will not camp here. God, our Father, wants to take us to another level. He wants to increase His presence among us. He wants to increase His presence among us here in a manifest, tangible way. He wants us to host His presence in a new way, in a new dimension, at a new level, and I want to go there with Him. I want to go there with Him. I want to say, yes, Lord, whatever it takes, take it, because I want to go there with You. I want to go there with You. God wants to take us to be a people who are passionate about our pursuit of His presence, more passionate than we are right now. That is not a knock against anyone. I think the Lord wants to ratchet us up in our experience with Him. I'm talking about passionate, relentless, intense passion for His presence. His presence trumps it all. It trumps it all. You can take anything else, but if we don't have the presence of the Lord with us, it's not worth it. We want His presence. We want His presence to inhabit this place here. And that is not saying it is not already. I'm asking for increase, Lord. Bring us greater things. We have been faithful to You, Lord. You've been more than faithful to us, but we want more of You. We want more of Your presence. We want more of You, Jesus, here with us. Matthew 6:33. What did Jesus say? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. That was talking about earthly things. He's saying, set it all aside. Don't worry about all this stuff. Seek first the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all else shall be added to you. It's a singular focus. God, Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, singular focus, Your kingdom here is what I am passionate about in my life. Transform this place. Make heaven look like earth. Sorry, put that back around the other way. Make earth look like heaven. Bring heaven to earth right now and transform this place, drawing down on heaven. You think this would be more easy than it is. I remember pastor saying, oh, you try this out. What happens in His presence? Listen, our Father is worthy of our singular focus. He is worthy. Nothing else that we have in our lives is worthy of our singular focus, the way God is worthy of our singular focus, our pursuit of Him in His presence. What happens in His presence? Anything He wants to do happens in His presence. It's not about you. It's not about what you think is going to happen. It's not about what your expectations are. It is about what He wants to do because He is the sovereign Lord. He created it all, and He gets to do what He wants to do. And when you pursue His presence with passion, you are submitted to the idea that He trumps everything. Everything. I want that here. I want that here in a huge, huge way. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. Freedom. Freedom! Wake up. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Let's go into 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 7. We're going to go through the rest of this chapter. Now, if the ministry that brought death, which is engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily on the face of Moses because of its glory, fading though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? This is referencing the law. Remember, Moses would go in and he'd be in the glory of the Lord and he'd have to veil his face, right? We're going to get into that. If the ministry that condemns men is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? Remember, we're in a new season now. Let's go to the next one. For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was fading away came with glory, how much greater is the glory that which lasts? That's the glory we're talking about. That's the presence of the Lord. Therefore, since we have such hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. Let's keep going. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Next one. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Amen. Transformation takes place in God's presence. Keep that scripture up, please. The atmosphere becomes pregnant with it in the presence of the Lord. He is about transformation. He wants to transform our hearts. He wants to transform our minds. He wants to transform our spirits. He wants to transform us to be conformed to Him. He wants to present and represent Himself to the world through us. And His presence is dynamic. Mahesh says this, all we need is one word from the glory. One word from the glory. It changes everything. When we connect with the presence of the Lord, and He tells us that one word from the glory, and we're in that atmosphere, anything can happen because He is in charge. Hallelujah, Lord. I want us to see and experience that. What does it say there? And we, who with unfaces all reflect the Lord's glory. In some translations it says, we all with unveiled faces. Not just one of us, all with unveiled faces. It's not just one person going into the presence and bringing it out. We get to go into the presence of the Lord together because we are the body corporate of God. We are Jesus' body And he calls us together to encounter him and to represent him. Psalm 16:11 tells us this: in your presence is fullness of joy. Joy is transformative. You can have joy in the midst of great, deep sorrow, in awful, terrible grief. Joy can show up. It is a gift from the Lord. And in his presence is fullness of joy. There's peace in his presence. If you've been around here long enough, you'll remember when we talk about peace. Peace isn't just, oh, nice fluffy bunnies and nice hills. No, peace is on the attack. Peace is on the attack. Peace is this: it destroys the authority that establishes disorder. Peace brings order. It restores order to situations. It's not just sitting back. It is offensive. It is offensive. It's a weapon of warfare. Peace. You can come into a situation. What did Jesus say? Peace, be still. And that whole thing went away. That whole storm. Because he spoke peace. He spoke that shalom in the midst of that situation. He brought disorder back out of disorder and into order again. Anything can happen in his presence. Liberty, transformation, joy, life. Jesus is the life giver. He wants to take where there is death and he wants to put life back into it. Where there's decay, where there's corruption, where things are going to pot, he wants to breathe life into that thing and transform it. Listen, we're a people of this. How many of you have had your life transformed by the Lord? He has transformed my life. Transformed my life. And I want him to transform my life more. I am not satisfied. Are we satisfied? I am not satisfied, and I will not camp here, because he has more for us. He has things for us that we can't even imagine right now. We've seen an increase in healing, an increase in prophetic activity, but should it stop here? No. What do we do in February? Fasted, prayed, interceded. What do we ask the Lord for? Healing, increased healing, healing in among us. We prayed for our leaders. He's answered us. Do you see that? We're seeing this uptick in all this because he's answered us. He said, I heard your heart. By the way, I led your heart there. And then I answered you back out of that thing. God is so economical. He just breathes life into it, and then it comes back to him and says, I know, isn't it cool? I'm going to do some more for you. Oh, he's so good. He's so good. Now is the time to press in. The iron is hot. This is when we strike. You understand? We press into the Lord. He's responded to us. And we press in. We say, Lord, I'm going to lay hold of what you're doing right now. Because I don't want this to just be a wave that comes and crashes and then goes back out again. I want to lay hold of what you're bringing in right now. I want to level up with you. If you're increasing, what do I need to learn? What do I need to adopt into me right now? What needs to be transformed so that you're replacing something that can be set aside? How do we as a people say, yes, Lord, we're going to continue to press into you. We're going to continue to be passionate about your presence. You are so good, but we want more. We want more of you, Jesus. Now is the time to do that. See, he promises that if we will draw near to him, he will draw near to us. He says, draw near to me. I will draw near to you. Does that mean that he's never drawn near to us before? Or that he waits on us to draw near to him before he draws near to us? No. He is the way he works, right? He releases these things, and then it comes back, and then he meets us there. He says, draw near to me. Look, he sent his son into the earth to die for us when we were his enemies, when we were yet sinners. He already went on the offensive to come near to us. He reached out to us. And when we reached out, he grabbed and laid hold of us. What were we singing about this morning? His relentless love. His reckless love. His relentless love. He put that out there, and he gives us the opportunity to return that back to him. He relentlessly pursues us so that we can relentlessly pursue him in response. And when we do, he keeps relentlessly pursuing us. This is the best vicious cycle ever. We got to engage this thing. Our Father's house. That is our name. I want to see that in our Father's house, we would have an increased manifestation of our Father's presence here in this house. Daddy's home. And it's not just this building. It's not just these walls. His house is you. His house is you. We are in his household. And in his Father's house, when we come together and we gather together, we should have an increased experience of the manifest presence of our Daddy God, our Abba Father, here among us, to do what he wants to do in and through us and to whomever comes through those doors. We have a history of people driving down the highway and pulling in here and meeting the presence of God here. God wants to increase that. We get to host his presence, not just for Sunday morning, folks, because we go and we scatter and we spend 6 days out of the week out in the town. And then we come together, and here we find his presence so it can spill over into that time. There is a concept I keep hearing about. Listen, we are in season right now with what God is doing in the earth. He is turning the church inside out. We have spent decades, more than that really, of building our walls and staying inside. And separating ourselves from the earth. Don't want to get dirty by what the earth is doing, what's going on in the world. I can't go there because that might infect me in some way. Jesus invades darkness. Light invades darkness. And God is in this season, not just here, but we're resonating with something that's happening on the earth right now where the Lord is taking that and he's turning the church inside out. We come together on our Sundays so that we can gather and we can experience his presence and it can transform us so that when we go out into the earth that week, we carry that presence with us. When Moses came back, what did he do? He veiled his face, right? Because he had the presence and he kept carrying it with us. He had the glory there, but it faded. God is giving us glory to carry with us out into the world each week. Each week, if you will engage with him, I promise you, you will see him do something. You will see him do something. It might not be that somebody gets healed. But he's going to do something in you by you just saying, Lord, I'm going to try. I'm going to try. And even if I fail, I know that you're proud of me because you love me. Will you try? Will you say, Lord, whatever it is. By the way, it doesn't just have to be healing. It doesn't just have to be prophecy. We talk about a lot of that here because that's something the Lord has been distilling here. But many of us function out in schools. We function on the base. We're in various businesses. Some of us are business owners. Some of us are caring for children. Whatever it is, God wants to be present in that place. And you can engage with him and say, Holy Spirit, what do you want to do here today? Or you might get an inkling of, feel like I need to go talk to that person. It can be whatever it is. God can give you wisdom and he can do miraculous things in business and finance, not only healings, not only speaking to someone directly prophetically about what's going on in their life. He can transform your business, he can transform your finances, he can do whatever he wants. And if we invite him into that, what is he going to do? I don't know, but he's going to be there. And it's going to be incredible. The church turned inside out. Are we satisfied? Are we satisfied? Are you satisfied with where you're at right now? As good as he has been to you, are you satisfied? No, I'm not. I'm not dead yet. I don't have time to be satisfied yet. Because he wants to continue to take us further up and further in with him. He wants to show us more of who he is. He wants to reveal himself to us in greater ways. I want to explore new heights together. I want to explore deeper depths together. I want us to know him more intimately, understand his heart more, and have our hearts transformed and changed to be more like his heart. You are amazing people. So that is not a knock against anybody that's here in this room. But I want more of Jesus in you. I want more of his confidence and his boldness and his strength and his courage and his compassion, his tenderness, his passion in you. Because we need to experience him more that way. And the world needs to experience him. They need the transformation that he wants to bring to our lives. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask Lee to come up again. Lee, where are you? And if you want to bring any of your worship team with you, please do. By the way, we have a temporary addition to our worship team. Some of you will recognize Daniel Kelly. Welcome, Dale. Welcome home, brother. Thank you. Daniel grew up in this house. We're glad to have his gift and talent and his presence here among us today. I'm gonna make a call to you. If you're not satisfied with where you are, and you want to press into the Lord in this season, not just for this season, but for the future, here in our Father's house, because I'm not talking about let's just have a wave of this. I really want to see us lay hold of passion for his presence in a new way, that becomes a new standard for us, a new way we function, a new way we operate. And I expect it is going to change how we do things on our Sunday mornings. I want that. I desire that. You have a word? Rhonda's got a word. Thank you, Lord, for your word. I don't have a microphone. Is it there? Okay.
Testing. Okay, I'm bringing forth some prophetic words that were received during worship. And the first one was an image. In this image, there was a cattle stall. And what was seen was a stall that was very narrow around a calf. Not much room, very narrow. And all of a sudden, the gate that was in front of that stall that had confined the calf from much movement was blown open with a violent force. And the calf just leaped forward. And if you've ever seen calves when they just get going and are so happy and leaping, they almost get their back legs in front of the front legs. And that's what was happening in this vision. And I heard Malachi 4:2. But for you who revere my name, the Sun of Righteousness will rise with healing in its rays, and you will go out and frolic like well-fed calves. Then you will trample on the wicked, and there'll be ashes beneath your soul, but you will frolic like well-fed calves. Another word came forth that talked about the activity of the Holy Spirit was almost buzzing, humming, with expectancy. And they sense from the Lord that the Lord wants to meet you and get you excited in what the Holy Spirit is doing in this season. I believe that fits right in with what you shared.
I'm on. There we go. I believe that fits. Thank you, Lord. Molly brought the word for our year. and that is expectancy. She sowed that seed in us, and I'm so thankful for that. Because that word keeps coming up over and over and over and over again. I believe that's the word for us in this season. Expectancy. If you are not satisfied, and you want to engage the Lord and pursue Him with passion at a new level, I'm going to invite you to make your way to the front. Thank you. I say that, and somebody might say, I got doubt, I got fear, I got unbelief. I feel guilt, I feel shame, I feel all of it. And Jesus comes representing His Father, and the Father says that He is perfect love. He, God, is perfect love. And we know this, that perfect love casts out all fear. If you're feeling hesitant, but you're feeling that draw, I would encourage you to come forward, because this is what's going to happen. Wherever any of us are right now, even if we're excited about what the Lord is doing, even if we're all of us is 100% fully on board right now, we take whatever our condition is in right now and we lay it down on the altar before the Lord and say, Lord, I have fear, I have doubt, I have unbelief, I have excitement, I have love, I have so much energy right now. Wherever we are, He meets us exactly where we are, and that becomes an offering for Him. As we lay that down on the altar, and we say, Lord, I just want You. And I put all this down before You right now. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank You. We just thank You. Lord Jesus, we just ask right now that we would come to know You in new ways. We want to pursue Your presence. We want to pursue the love of the Father in new ways. Holy Spirit, we invite You to bring us to new heights. We invite You to come and wreck us in places that we didn't know about so that You could be put on display in us. So we invite You to draw us into relationship with You in new ways. I ask that You would bring activation to gifts that we didn't know. I ask that You would give us dreams. I ask that we would begin to dream in color. We'd begin to dream in 3D. I ask that we would see things that we've never seen before. I ask that You would turn our hearts with compassion towards people in new ways. I ask that You would release boldness in us where we'd be fearful before we would know, oh my goodness, I feel strength and courage right now to go and speak truth, to speak love, to speak compassion to somebody else, to connect with the Holy Spirit and deliver His Word, to reach out in love, to be the voice to speak, to be the ear to hear, to be the hand to hold, to be the shoulder to cry on, to be the legs to walk. We just thank You, Lord Jesus. I ask for Your grace and Your presence to wreck us in a whole new way. We ask for more. We're so grateful and thankful for Your presence. We're so thankful for who You are, Lord. We ask for more. We ask for more of You, Jesus. We ask for Your presence to be increased among us. We ask that You would help us to be focused on You, to wake in the morning and say, come, Holy Spirit, You lead my day. Lord, don't just join me as a business partner, but be the business owner. Let me work for You, Lord. You own this thing. You own the cattle on 1,000 hills, and You own the hills. You own all of it, Lord. It's Yours. Let me be an agent for change. Let me be the son. Grow me in maturity and let me be more like You. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Father, I pray for all that are here right now. I ask, Lord, that You would just begin to activate them all in a whole new way. I ask that we would see You moving among us in a whole new way, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Lead us in that one.
Jesus reigns in this place.
Showers of mercy
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I ask for our teens to come down and be with us during this time. I want to pray over them right now and ask you to join with me. Teen leaders, I'd like you to just, if you will, just place your hands on their shoulders. Lord Jesus, I just bless this generation. I thank you.
Yes,
I thank you, Lord, for how you're meeting them right now. I ask, Lord, they would grow up in your presence in ways that we can't even imagine. I ask that you would light fires in them, Lord, that they cannot be quenched. I ask that you would draw out gifts and callings in them, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, thank you, Lord. We speak freedom in this generation in the name of Jesus. Freedom in the name of Jesus. Liberty in the name of Jesus. I ask for wisdom for this generation in the name of Jesus. I ask for your purity of spirit in this generation, Lord. I ask for integrity in this generation, Lord Jesus. Lord, I ask right now that you distill gifts in them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Bless them in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Say